Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, there are several announcements that I make before we get started. This is Pentecost Sunday today, the birthday of Christianity, the day on which the Spirit descended upon the apostles, and on which, under Peter's preaching, so many thousands were converted in Jerusalem, as found in Acts 2. We will observe the sacrament of Holy Communion and receive the Pentecost offering, as well as the 10 cents a meal offering as well. Now, the 10 cents a meal offering box is here, or you can come down after the worship, the offering plate is passed you, or you can come down after the service to give that money. We also collect the Pentecost offering. As Petey told us last week, 40% of this offering received today will stay at Cook's to benefit our youth. 25% will benefit young adult volunteers, such as our own Eric Thompson volunteering in Paraguay. Another 25% will benefit ministries with youth, and 10% will go to children at risk. Pentecost offering envelopes are available this morning in each pew rack. We're also collecting non-perishable food items for loaves and fishes through today, May 28th. So hopefully you've brought some of those in and they could have gone in the barrels. We have a hands-on mission outreach opportunity available for everyone to help with next Sunday, June 4th. We'll be hosting a sandwich-making event in the fellowship hall right after worship, and those sandwiches will feed our neighbors in need of a meal at a roof above, and volunteers are still needed. Please contact Audrey Brady as soon as possible to sign up. All youth are invited to join Paige at the sandwich-making event next Sunday right after worship. And then once all the sandwiches are done, she and Clayton will be taking the youth to an escape room adventure. Contact Paige if you have any questions, and we look forward to seeing each of our youth next Sunday, June 4th, for these two events. Our summer Sunday school schedule starts June 4th and goes through September 3rd, and all adults are invited to meet me in room 113 at 9 a.m. each week for a study on the Apostles' Creed, and all youth and children will meet with Paige in room 210. Our 2023 Vacation Bible School for ages 4 through 5th grade will be held Sunday through Wednesday, July 30th through August 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. each night, and we'll have dinner, Bible stories, games, and crafts, so please put this on your calendars and invite a friend or two to come with you. Please note we are collecting paper grocery bags and old newspapers for BVS. So if you have any of these items, please donate them now through July 23rd. Put them in the box in the narthex labeled VBS. It's hard to believe we're only about 2 weeks away from June 10th when our men will host their annual antique auto show from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in our church parking lot. Contact Dwight Black if you or someone you know would like to register. Our men will be selling lunch items, and our Presbyterian women will be selling baked goodies for all to enjoy. Plan now to bring the whole family to enjoy this blast from the past. The rain date is the following week on the 17th, if necessary. We want to say thank you to all our U.S. veterans for their sacrifice to our country, and especially to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. There is a sheet in the narthex listing Cook's veterans for those of you that would like one. Please note, the church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of the Memorial Day holiday. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of those who paid the ultimate price for our country and in memory of Paul Thompson Jr. and Paul Thompson, with love from Charlie and Debbie McCreary. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any more before we come to our moment for mission? Okay.
Well, I've been working with the scouting program at Cook's off and on in different ways for 30 years. And for the first time in the 68 years that Cook's has sponsored scouting, Cook's Church, Cook's Presbyterian, won an award for being the number one chartered organization of the year. It's for Cook's. So, I realize a chartered organization, what is that? That can be a church, it can be a school, it can be a business, whoever would like to sponsor a scouting program. And in exchange for saying, I'll sponsor you, Cooks has agreed to provide a meeting space. They have meetings every week. They have award ceremonies in Fellowship Hall. They have use of the bus. Cooks provides leadership. And most of all, Cooks provides love and support. I would say that over the last 68 years, there have been thousands of boys who have come through these doors to be part of scouting. And it is documented that boys who become men, who go through scouting, all say at some point they were very happy that they learned scouting skills and leadership, whether they were in scouts for a year or 12 years. But at this time in the United States, 11% of all boys are in a scouting program. And here at Cooks, we have both Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. Our Cub Scouts numbers are growing, as are the Boy Scouts. The pandemic did take a hit on everything, including scouting. But we have 25 Cub Scouts, and they age in range from kindergarten through the fifth grade. They also allow girls in Cub Scouting here at Cooks. But in our Boy Scout troop, we have about 18 Scouts. They meet year-round, whereas the Cub Scouts just meet during the school year. But in this past April, William, who's here today, was the Scoutmaster, and 11 of the Scouts became Eagle Scouts. A big ceremony. It was a big honor for our units. But if any of you know of Scouts, Scout age, because Boy Scouts is 6th grade through 12th, if you know of a boy or a younger girl who would like to be in scouting, we would love to have them. You can join at any time of the year, but we have a major recruiting time in August. But scouting is not just about leadership or fun. They also have a lot of service. And just yesterday, our Cub Scouts and some Boy Scouts went to a veteran cemetery and helped to put out 6,000 flags on graves of veterans. And I'm sure they did it in some rain. They did have donuts involved, but it was still quite an act of service. But they have fun all the time. One of the fun things they do is about to happen later this summer at Jack Parker's house. He will allow them to camp while they do a canoe trip around Mountain Island Lake. Jack, by the way, was one of the very first people. He helped organize scouting at Cooks while little F.D. Hager was a Cub Scout there. But it's always a good time to join scouting, and I hope you know somebody who would like to. But the troop and Pack and I are very proud of this award that Cooks has received, and they've asked me to thank you for your continued support and love for their program. Thanks.
Come, Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts with joy and confidence. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with power of the rushing wind that we may faithfully serve you in all that we do. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us today.
Let us pray. God of wind and fire, embolden us this day to receive your power. Help us to proclaim the wondrous things that you have done and continue to do in our lives. Give us strength and courage to share the good news of your love and your presence. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to a time of passing the peace in which we share with our neighbors the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible the sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen fires of a hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening news and dance. I can read his precious filters by their human flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He has sifted out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, he's swift and full, my answer him be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, died to make men holy. Let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His
First John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So it's in humility and in faith that we step forward using our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletins, confessing out loud what we know to be true and then silently in our hearts before the Lord, as we expect to receive God's manifold grace. Join me as we pray together. Lord God, you know us too well. You know that we would rather be like the disciples following the crucifixion and even the resurrection. We would rather hide and mutter and weep than proclaim the power of your love. The world is a difficult place. We fear so much. We want people to like us, and so we hold back on our proclamation of our faith. We don't want to offend anyone, but your love and presence are not offensive. They are empowering and healing. Bring your holy fire upon us this day to ignite a spark of joy in our hearts and our voices. Bring the power of your rushing wind through our spirits, that we may be turned in new directions for service and witness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There is great good news. The great good news is this: that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that one day Christ will come again in power. And we know this because of the life, death, and resurrection of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has accepted upon his body on the cross the full weight of our sin and has atoned for us in a way that enables us to be in full fellowship with God the Father Almighty yet again. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. As Christians, we celebrate and worship an ancient Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is alive today by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do so along a continuum of thought and declarations of faith that stretch back now over 2,000 years. One of those, the Apostles' Creed, which we read this morning, is an ancient creed that united believers under one belief in Jesus Christ, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So join me as we join our voices together to say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. And ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn. Number 65. Kids to come forward for a time that's just for them. Y'all might all want to be kids today. There's donut holes involved. Right? Have a donut hole. That's it. I do love some donuts. As my kids can tell you, we have a spot in the house that's called the donut hole. And sometimes there's donuts in there, and the kids have gotten to checking, and it's made me mad at times because they're finding my stash of donuts. That's no good. Well, how's it going, guys? Yeah, that's good. Well, this is kind of an odd situation in that one of the things that I'm going to talk about, you guys experienced firsthand. Remember when we moved into the new house, when we first got there, we were still getting boxes put up, and then we had a little visitor come outside the window, the sliding glass door. No, it was not the cats. Do you remember? You don't remember? Remember the big snake that came?
Oh, yeah.
The big snake that came? It came closer. It got up on that screen porch, and it was up on its little self, and it was looking at me like I was the one in the zoo. Do you remember what I called out to your mom?
No.
We're moving. I didn't want any part of that snake. You see, I'm still a little scared of snakes, guys. What are y'all afraid of?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, what?
Taxes.
You're afraid of taxes? All right. That's a good thing to be afraid of. No point being afraid of death, because death is our gateway into new life. Good theological awareness, Lily. One of the things that we're going to hear today, the reason that you guys got a donut hole was because today we're going to read about the descent of the Holy Spirit unto the disciples in Acts. And the first thing it does is eliminate their fears. It allows them to go from this crowded room in which they were all huddled together, scared of what was going to happen to them. And it sends them out into the world around them to do what? To share the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, that day, Peter's going to preach a sermon, and the Bible teaches us that 3,000 people are converted to Christianity and join the church just that very day. And it would never have happened if those believers had stayed in fear, locked away in that little room, would it? It wouldn't have happened. So the first thing we've got to realize is that the Holy Spirit relieves us of our fears, and what a blessing that is. How might the Holy Spirit remove some of the fears in your life? Well, it might allow you to make a new friend with the intent of bringing them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day and for our time together. Bless these children with your word and your spirit. Bless us all with your grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys. We don't have many people here today. We can pass this around. You come on Pentecost, you get sweets. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word, and we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, on this day that we celebrate you, God, descend upon us in power. Remind us yet again of our mission and our purpose. Relieve us of our fears. Open our hearts to love the world that you so desperately love. And we know that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. And we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Please turn with me to page 141 in your pew Bible. I'm going to read Numbers 11, 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp.
One of the readings that I did not select for today is a reading from the prophecy of Joel. And Joel writes about how everybody will receive the spirit of prophecy, and old men will see visions and have dreams. And as I'm getting older, that means a lot to me, that there's no point in time in which the spirit is done with us, that God is still working in our lives very deliberately and very constantly. And if we'll just take a moment in prayer or reflection and allow ourselves to hear that still small voice of God, we'll know exactly what we're called to do. You know, I'm reminded this morning, before we get into the sermon proper, I'm reminded of the fact that there were, in 1968, 75% of all watches were manufactured by the Swiss. The Swiss had a real stranglehold on the market of timepieces. They did so by their excellence and their dedication to their craft. But they made a mistake. And by 1980, the percentage of watches that were made in Switzerland was down to a paltry 10%. Thousands of Swiss watchmakers had been laid off and out of work. The reason, an interesting one, the quartz movement. You see, the quartz movement was invented by a Swiss watchmaker, believe it or not, but discarded as an idea. As a result, the folks at Seiko took the idea and ran with it. And then, like I said, by the 1980s, more watches were Japanese than anything else. And it came from an organization that had simply lost its way, that had given up its birthright, which was to make the best watches possible. You see, at a certain point, they stopped innovating. They stopped doing what they had done for generations. And as a result, their business suffered. I think right now, you know, what we've got in the mainline church is a little bit of that same kind of dynamic, where we've lost sight of our real mission, and as a result, we're fumbling the ball, so to speak, in ways that are very unfortunate. Right now, mainline denominations are dropping numbers like Led Zeppelin's, and that's just us. Where we do see growth in some mega churches, if you take a look a little closer behind the numbers, you'll see something that's pretty telling and makes sense. Not many of the people that are inhabiting your mega churches are new believers. Most of them are pew shoppers that have gone from one set of pews, maybe in here, over there. It's not as though they're new Christians. We're having a very, very, very little impact right now in seeing new Christians. The latest Pew survey of religious life in America is out, and the numbers continue the deceleration in mainline denominational numbers. We see that we're really kind of going off a cliff, to be honest about it. And if we take our story from Acts today, we'll see that it doesn't have to be like that. So I come to now our reading from the book of Acts. I read chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, inviting you now to hear the word of our Lord. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'll never forget my very first class in seminary. And unfortunately, no, it wasn't something really neat like the Bible or some kind of neat theology class. No, the first class I took all by its lonesome was the exciting and scintillating and really engaging class called Presbyterian Polity 101. We engaged with the Book of Order a whole lot. And if you've read the Book of Order, you know it's a necessary thing and a wonderful thing to have as a resource. But reading it and studying it are best left to others. Let me just say that. But we were studying this, and Dr. Boyce did a really good job. He's now the president of Union Theological in Charlotte. At the time, he was just a professor in one of the departments. But he said to me something that I'll never forget, because it really forced me to look at some things in my faith walk. He said in the course of this Presbyterian Polity class that he almost never, in fact, he said almost never, but I think he meant never, never preach from the book of Acts. He said that very deliberately and carefully. And when I asked him, I said, "Well, why don't you preach from, you know, well, this would seem to be a book of the Bible. Why aren't you teaching from it?" His response was, "I always get so worried that people will read and see what the earliest disciples were able to do and then compare it to what we're able to do and will decide that things have gone wrong." I think he was more right than he was wrong in some regards. Except that we should never back away from this proclamation of Acts. Because in Acts, we hear amazing things happen. That the disciples and apostles were truly used by God in ways that were extraordinary, outstanding, and never had been done before. And I'm convinced to this day that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do those same things. I believe that. I believe that the God that was working then is working now. Otherwise, what you'd have to say is that the Holy Spirit was somehow more powerful the closer he was to Jesus' actual physical life than he is. And that's a problematic declaration because it reduces the power of the Holy Spirit, who is at one and the same time part of the Godhead along with the Father and the Son. And this is a gift and a blessing that the church was promised by none other than Jesus Christ. In Acts 1, we read this. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And then again in John 14, we read this. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." This is, Jesus has promised us a helper, and he said that we'll be clothed in power when the Holy Spirit arrives. And this isn't some misdirected flash in the pan power. If you had a gallon of gas and you just poured it on the ground and lit it up, it would make a mighty flame, but it would extinguish pretty quickly. Its fuel would burn out. But if you have it engaged in a motor, that same fire, that same gallon of gas can be used to drive you all around town even. And that's an important realization, that this Spirit doesn't give us undirected power. The Holy Spirit gives us a power with a purpose. And the first thing, as I told the kids, that the Holy Spirit does is it relieves and removes our fears. Have you ever been forced to wait in a doctor's office for a test result to come back? That can be some pretty anxious moments, can it not, where you sit and wonder. I don't know if you're like me, but I can somehow take a regular blood test and make it certain that I have some kind of terrible disease. It's just an unfortunate quirk of an anxiety issue. But the good news is that just because I think something doesn't mean that it's necessarily true, and that's a good thing, because when it comes to fears, sometimes we have very valid ones, and then sometimes we have some not so valid ones. And one of the fears I bet that every one of us has today is sharing the gospel with somebody else. I bet that right now, not many people feel very comfortable or capable of really meeting somebody right where they're at and explaining Jesus Christ to them. But that's exactly what we're called to do, and that's exactly what this Holy Spirit does, to come and remove our fears from us, because we have a mission. Here, reading from Luke 24, "Then," that is Jesus, "opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power.'" And that's where we find the apostles and the disciples, approximately 120 of them, at the point where all huddled in a room. Why are they huddled in a room? Well, on one regard, Jesus had commended them to do that, so they were following their leader's instructions. But the second reason is, you can imagine there's safety in numbers. And now that Jesus was dead, there were some real problems. You see, Rome had seen messiahs before, not real ones, but they had seen the fake variety. And over time, they had gotten into a pretty good habit of killing not only the messiah, but all the messiah's followers. So this group of 120 individuals would have been pretty scared based on what was going on at the time. Remember that the Romans would put to death anybody that claimed co-equal status with their emperor. And to declare Jesus as Lord, which we hear is a pretty banal kind of thing, would have been seditious speech in the Roman Empire. But then all of a sudden, these fearful and cowering apostles and disciples find their way out into the broader crowd. You see, they were there for the Festival of Weeks. The Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot, is a Jewish harvest festival that occurs 50 days after Pentecost, 50 days rather after the Passover, which is why we celebrate Pentecost. It's a continuation of that holiday, but reimagined through the role of the Holy Spirit of God, who comes to us and declares to us the great good news that Jesus is with us and will be forever and ever again. But you see, they were afraid, because rabble-rousers were killed. But the first thing the Holy Spirit does is relieve their fears. And we know that because they go out into the broader crowd. Now, they begin to talk, and everybody is able to hear because of the Spirit in their own language, native language. This was an amazing gift of tongues that the early church had. And you can imagine going out and proclaiming the good news. But you couldn't if you were frightened. And they were no longer frightened. So let's observe that. Are we frightened of declaring the gospel? Are we scared of what the world will think of us if we do? I think we are. As a matter of fact, I thought our prayer of confession got that right on the money, is that we are like those disciples huddled in that room sometimes. We've got a quartz movement. We've got our great good news that we're called to share. But too often, more often than not, we're found lacking in our pursuit of God's mission and purpose. We know that they're boisterous because they're accused of being drunk at the time, aren't they? Now, as we all know, alcohol is a little bit of a social lubricant. Sometimes you can give somebody that's normally quite taciturn and quiet a couple of drinks, and the next thing you know, they're a chatterbox. Well, here were these men and women out apparating like chatterboxes. And so in the world's reasons of why that would be, there's only one reason. They're drunk. But they weren't drunk. They were filled with power by the Holy Spirit. And as I said, that's a directed power, a power directed to the proclamation of the gospel. So the first thing the Spirit does is relieve our fears. The next thing the Spirit does is unify us. One of my favorite movies to this day remains Top Gun. I know that goes back a ways. Believe it or not, I haven't seen the sequel. So I'll have to check that out at some point. I'll get it when it comes on Netflix, I'm afraid, at this point. But in the movie Top Gun, they've got a storyline that I think really works. Of course, we know that Maverick is a troubled young pilot who's seeking to become the best fighter pilot in the Navy. And at the Top Gun school, he's challenged and quite often beaten by a guy played by Val Kilmer, or as the Iceman. And the two go at it back and forth over the course of this movie. And there's even one delightfully cheesy scene where they play each other in beach volleyball, if you remember it. It was a little odd storyline, but they played each other in beach volleyball. But see, the Iceman and Maverick were kind of what we would call frenemies for a while. But then when the real enemies came, they banded together and they were able to defeat the enemy, which is a great storyline, which is one that we need to hear, is that sometimes it's being brought back together that will enable us to be more powerful. I talked about this last week as I used the analogy of horse pull. Like one horse can pull 4,500, the other can pull 4,400, but together they can pull 12,000 pounds. Well, that's what the power of unity does for us as well, is it enables us to pull beyond what we could do by ourselves, which is one of the reasons we need to look at denominations and false divisions within the body of Christ and see them for what they are, which is slightly heresy, and we shouldn't overlook that fact, that there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. As a matter of fact, there's a great passage in Galatians where we read, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we see these disciples and apostles corralled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they are enabled to share the good news with others. And that opens us up to the third power, and that is the power of proclamation. One of the things that if we read the broader passage, what we'll see is that Peter makes a delivers a sermon. It's one of, I think, 14 that he delivers in Acts of the Apostles. Or maybe it's one of 14 sermons. Not all are Peter's. I'm sorry. But it's one of those sermons that he gives. And then we hear something interesting. Now, when they heard Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Here's Peter's reply. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's our quartz movement. That's the message we're empowered to go out and share, to repent and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's our mission given to us by none other than Jesus Christ. And that's the power and purpose that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts for. It isn't some misdirected or undirected power like that poof of gasoline going up. It is instead focused energy designed to proclaim the saving message of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Repentance brings us into that difficult space where we've got to acknowledge that we ourselves are sinners. And that's it's a difficult thing because we like to think of ourselves as lily white, as fresh as the driven snow. But the fact of the matter is the Bible tells us that we're sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and that we need relief and we need grace. And God, I know I do. Because the Lord grants it, we can know that there is forgiveness in this world. And that's part of the power of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate. Today is the birthday of the church, and may we never forget what we're called to do and be, which are the fearless, unified apostles of Jesus Christ out in the world with the message of proclamation of Christ's love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're blessed to come now into a time of Holy Communion. The communion elements are in the trays, and let me just mention that we've got some of the sealed wafers and juice, if you feel comfortable with that. We've got two types of bread, regular glutenized, I don't know that that's a word, but we'll make it one. And then there's gluten-free bread in the muffin tins inside of them, inside the baskets. And so we come and we are invited to the Lord's table, and the Lord directs us and tells us that we are His. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make things true. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this juice and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very lives to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of your bread and your juice, that the bread we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us, and us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union, we pray for the church in heaven and on earth. We pray, O Christ, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in all us and on all the world. We make these prayers through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And we conclude this prayer with the prayer that Jesus taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus Christ took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat of this loaf and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So now let us taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the bread of salvation. Body of Christ broken for you. 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 So the body of Christ broken for us. The cup of salvation. This is the blood of Christ shed for us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you fed us in this communion act, that you have nourished us spiritually and physically in a way that no other thing can. Use this sacrament to reaffirm with us our purpose in life, which is to make disciples in your holy and precious and everlasting name. You call us to make disciples because this world is still broken, and there are people that still search for you diligently, and we are the ones who are called to share you with the world. Gracious God, we recognize that this is a time and place that sees illness and disease, depression and anxiety, and we know that the best antidote to those things is, of course, prayer. Prayer because your word reminds us that you not only hear our words, but that you do indeed act on them as well. And so we pray for all of the people on our prayer list, especially including today Sarah Justice, Joy Hilton, Pat Hager, Tom McClure, Jill Griffin, Dennis Abernathy, and we pray for Dale Lucky, O Lord, as well. We pray for all of those who we've named silently in our hearts as well. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, how richly you bless our lives with so many things, with love, with purpose, with meaning, and with material blessings. Father God, as we bring a portion of those material blessings back to you, we just ask that you use this offering, sanctifying it and promoting your will and your work in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Fellowship on the lawn, unfortunately, today is canceled because of the weather. I forgot to mention that early on, but I think the rain will kind of dissuade anybody from staying out there. And plus, you got a donut, right? You got the chance to get a donut. All right. Well, we remember that the Holy Spirit came with power and energy. And as we depart, remember that this is a directed power, and we're called to share the message of Christ's love with everyone. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Thank you. That's it.